Well, here we are again. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. The mics are on. The producers are working. I'm here with my best co-host, Peter Morrison. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Don't you love coming in and meeting people?
I do, and you know, you give the best interviews of anybody I know.
Well, then you got to get outside a little bit more.
Well, within a limited sphere.
But, you know, Peter, it's great talking to entrepreneurs. Great having you here. We love having you around. We got to have you more. Our next guest, Mike Romano. Is that correct?
Yeah, Romano. Yes.
Romano. President of Romano Hospitality Talent Agency.
Yes.
Wow, perfect. We want Peter on your list. So tell us about the Romano Talent Agency.
Yeah. So we work exclusively with restaurants, hotels, all hospitality venues inside of Boston, and then across about a dozen states also. So I've worked in the industry locally for, you know, over 20 years. So the business basically started with having that foundation in operations and working in restaurants. And we now support hundreds of locations, find people jobs, kind of broker those relationships and get people to advance their career on the candidate side. And then on the company side, we help companies find the best talent in the city. We dig through and we find everybody we can.
So are you talking about chefs? Are you talking about service people?
Under the umbrella of hospitality, we do every management position. So from chefs, assistant general managers, directors, C-suite, things like that. So everything management. But we also do help the local community, the people that work in the service industry at the hourly level. We help find them jobs. We network with them and we kind of funnel them to new restaurant openings and things like that. So we stay very active. But for our client companies, we just focus strictly on management level talent.
How did you get to do this?
So after, my personal career went all the way to like a regional director position. So I used to oversee 8 to 10 restaurants, you know, like a $50 million portfolio for several companies. And then I just had a turning point where I decided that I wanted to take on something of my own. So I created my business. Started off as a consultant, like a consultative services, but I realized that the market wasn't there enough for it and that the easiest way for companies to solve problems was through people. So I focused on the people side. There was limited competition in the city, and I had a really strong network base already in the city. So it just made sense to really drive fantastic people to great companies and kind of make that marriage happen. So I basically got pushed in that direction and it worked out pretty well.
Is it still a place where there's not a lot of competition for your business?
So there are a lot of big box companies, like the nationwide chains of recruiting companies, that you only need 10, 12 months of experience to qualify for that job. And those people don't have, and sometimes those recruiters could be in Texas, California, and they're trying to find, you know, jobs for people in Boston, and they don't know the difference between the South End and Fort Point. And you have to try to, you know, so once those things kind of come to the surface and people realize in the city that we're the go-to place for finding perfectly matched, well-aligned, cultural, structural fits for their business, they just come back to us all the time.
Is this the first company you ever owned?
Yes.
Do you have a history of entrepreneurship in your family?
No, this was it. So it's kind of a wild. So what happened? I had a job, and I had, like I said, I've worked exclusively in the restaurant industry. So I got to a point where I said, you know what? I'm going to budget the next 4 to 6 months, and I'm going to quit my job. I'm just quitting my career. I'm going to figure it out, right? Because that's the best way to do it, is just go figure it out. So after about 6 weeks of sitting on the couch, because I was taking a break from the industry, I saw an ad online for Uber. I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll drive some Uber at night while I still figure stuff out. I'll talk to people, get people in my car, drive around the city because I love Boston. And then one day, about 3 months into being unemployed, I just created a website. I went on Squarespace. I thought they had a really nice entry-level package to just have something get live and active. Because unless you have a website or someplace to go where people can see you, unless you're tangible, people just think you don't exist. You're easily forgotten. You can tell someone, oh, hey, I run a company. Tell them, oh, go check out my website. And then, I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't have a website. I'm like, oh, so you're really not you know, you're not structured yet. So we put a website together, started from there, continued to refine it over the next, you know, 2 to 3 months. But from the launch of my website to my first client, my first paycheck, it was only about 8 weeks. And then, so that was the turnaround time to get things up and running.
So in hindsight, the most shocking parts of becoming an entrepreneur?
It's incredibly easy. I think a lot of the barriers to being successful are all mental. You know, if you take baby steps to where you want to go, it's very simple. A lot of people say, oh, think big, dream big. That's great, but start with very small successes. You only need one client, one account, one person to buy from you, whatever it is that you're supplying, and you're successful. And then you can build from that. And if you do what you do very well, it's going to kind of grow and just magnify itself.
I sort of agree with you on that. It is, and there's a lot of research that says that it's better to go for a lot of little successes in a row and plan mm-hmm. than try to shoot for the sky, because that's more of a, you can strike out a lot more doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think in the process of these little failures and small successes, you can realize what is working for you immediately, right? If you go down one path and it's not fruitful, that's fine. You readjust, you realign, you find out what people need, whatever your, you know, your service industry is, and you accommodate and you kind of make that happen.
So have you built an organization to support you at this point?
Yeah. So you know what? I have a very specific philosophy. I don't have any employees at all. I don't employ anybody. I manage hundreds of locations across the country by myself. But what I do is I tap into my local network. So I would rather treat people in the industry as independent contractors and have them support me through a referral network than have to take on employees that I have to be obligated to support business for them, because they have to get paid. They're going to look for a check. So if I ever do need help in the industry, I basically pass the buck. So I have, you know, social media is a great outlet. You know, I have over 4,000 or 5,000 connections just on Facebook of all industry people. And I put it out there. If I'm looking for people in specific parts of the city, whether it's New York City, Boston, certain neighborhoods, let them know. If you send me people, great people, and I'm able to place them in a position, you get a referral fee. It might be $500. It might be $3,000 per person. And when people realize it's that easy to send, you know, to keep that network alive and get paid for it, we kind of keep that community moving. Instead of having to bring people on board and have employees and kind of scale it that way, I would rather scale it digitally, because we don't have an office. We don't have, you know, there's nothing on paper. Everything's digital. You can accommodate everything with phone calls or, you know,
email, whatever
it is. Yeah. So I try to be very efficient, and I try to give back to the community that I'm working with and have people engage and kind of move people around the industry.
That's interesting. So you have a live website that says basically what you do.
Yeah.
And people are attracted to it.
Yeah. And I think when you drum up the engagement and you make it real for people, they become much more excited about it. Someone can email me looking for a job this week, and I might have them a job next week. And in the process, you know, we take care of both sides. So client companies, they want great people, so they're paying us to match a wonderfully fit person for their business model. But on the candidate side, these people looking for jobs, we coach them. We have conversations about how to advance their career and what they could do. We help them with their resume. You know, we edit and we go through all the language in their resume to make sure it reflects what they want to convey. Because some people are horrible at interviewing, and that's okay. But you want to make sure that you show them why and kind of get them along the way. So we take care of both sides very well, and we negotiate the salary for them, all of their benefits, and we're like an agent for both sides of the business.
We've been speaking with Mike Romano, president of Romano Hospitality Talent Agency, with Peter Morrison. And Mike, if someone wants to find you at Romano Hospitality Talent Agency, RHTA, how would they do that?
You can just go to our website, romanohospitality.com. We're also on Facebook at Romano Hospitality Talent Agency. Thousands of followers. You can find us. We respond within the day. We're extremely communicative and organized, and we make sure that we get everybody that's in the industry on the phone with us, and we have a conversation to help, you know, drive their career and make sure everyone's happy on both sides.
Thanks for being on the show today.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Remind everybody, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm here with Peter Myerson. We're going to take a break. More stories as soon as we come back.